hello, everybody. Hi, this is your friendly neighbor, Bill Bauman, talking to you. And I want to welcome you to our November 2015 monthly teleconference. And, you know, every now and then I think I should come up with a different name other than teleconference, and maybe one of these years I'll do that. But it's really not just, as you know, a teleconference. To me, it's a monthly sacred gathering. I was saying to a group last weekend, as a matter of fact, that I love going to the sacred sites of our precious planet. And I feel like this monthly time together is the equivalent of a sacred site. I think we come here and there's all of us, and we all just embrace each other, hold each other, love each other, and become one. And then we open to whatever we want to call it. We open to blessings. We open to expressions of grace. We open to inspiration. We open to the soulful quality of life. And so I really, really genuinely, along with Donna, just welcome you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being here. And we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful hour together this evening. But first, I would love to thank Donna on behalf of all of those of you who are on our webcast as opposed to being on the phone. And ask Donna to say hi to us. I want to thank her for the beautiful, beautiful pieces of her artwork that she has up for those of you on the webcast to view and be inspired by. So, Donna, are you there? Can you say hello to us?
Yes, I can do that.
All right.
Hello, everyone. It's so nice that you joined us for this November teleconference. And we're thinking about all of you across the country because we know that winter is descending upon many of you. And it's a beautiful time of gratitude and thanksgiving in this month of November. And we are grateful for all of you. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Donna. That was so sweet. And if I may just add to what Donna is saying, for whatever reason, like a lot of us, I've been especially kind of grabbed and touched by all those around the world who, have lost their home, are refugees, are starving, are in extremely, extremely, extremely difficult circumstances. And with your permission, I'd just like to invite them in spirit to be present here with us because it's not just that all of us are one, it's that we are one with all of creation and the many creations, and specifically this precious human creation that each one of us came here to be in love with and in service of. So if we may just embrace every one of those, especially those who are challenged and having great difficulties today. So thank you. Well, listen, I have one more thing. No, I have two more things to say before we jump right in. First is an announcement that I hopefully will remember to express toward the end of this also, that these teleconferences are every month, the second Thursday of every month, except the month of December. So we don't do it next month. So it'll be 2 months from now, January 14th, before we join together again. So I just wanted to make sure that we put that in the front of your mind. The other is in the sort of neither here nor there category. And it goes like this. I've been thinking about birthdays. I was just with a few people lately who just happened to be having and celebrating birthdays. And I want to thank you, strange as this may sound, thank you for being born. Yeah, I really mean it. Honest, I'm not kidding here. No, I know you were born. I wouldn't kid about whether you were born or not. But I'm not kidding about thanking you. I just feel like, you know, each one of us is here. We put ourselves in a human form, a human body. We took on a human mind. We flow with human emotion and energy. We're this vast, vast, vast spiritual being kind of in the clothes of human, so that that we can make some kind of contribution to those around us as well as to ourselves. And so thank you for that. I don't know how often anybody thanks you, but I feel like thanking you. So, you know, what I did is something really silly. I got on my trusty little computer and I said, gee, I wonder who was born today, November the 12th. And sure enough, in 1929, Grace Kelly, the Princess of Monaco, was born. And in the year 1748, Carlos IV, the King of Spain, was born. I mean, it just gets better, doesn't it? And then in the year 1815, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, the famous women's rights activist, was born. And to bring it right up to the modern day, in 1982, Anne Hathaway, the American actress, was born. Anyway, I just thought I would throw a few names out just to get us all in the mood for birthday. So if by some strange chance your birthday is either today or close to today or close to this year, again, thank you on behalf of all of us for being born and for being you. So I am just thrilled to unmute all our mics and ask us to say hi. Those on the phone, those on the web, those listening in later, the ones, of course, whose voices we will hear just happen to be those of you on the phone. But again, after thanking you for being here, let's just embrace each other in whatever verbal way you want, whether with the word hello or anything, and just become one. Here we are. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh, it almost hurts. It's so good. Really, it's amazing. I have a number of you email and tell me what that does for you. It certainly does something in my heart, I want to say. So thank you. Guess what the topic or focus of our time together is today? It's called Thinking with Your Heart. Thinking with Your Heart. And as you know, I don't tend to know these things ahead of time. I sit down an hour or two ahead of our time together, and I just open to what it is, and those four words just popped into my trusty mind, thinking with your heart. And all of a sudden, with those, all sorts of other things came here. But I want to remind us, as I launch into just utterly amazing words, oh, you can just imagine how amazing they will be, I want to remind us that we're really not here primarily for the words. We're really not here primarily even for the ideas, though they are a stimulus for us and a resource. We're really here for whatever are the blessings in and through those words, whatever is the gift that lives in the space between the language, between the words, if you will, between the lines. And whatever expression of grace just wants to kind of awaken within us in and through and related to or maybe not even related to the particular topic we're with. So be with me, if you will, in this precious set of words and space, sacred space of blessing entitled Thinking with Your Heart. So I started thinking, you know, when we talk about thinking, yeah, see, I started thinking that right away. It's pretty automatic. So when we talk about thinking, pretty much right away we let our attention go to what we call our mind. And I think in our current worldview, we tend to equate thought or thinking with our mind. We kind of consider our human mind, or at least I have, our human mind is like our personal tool. It's our tool for thinking. It's our tool for problem solving. It's our tool for coming up with creative solutions or for reasoning or logic or remembering or just all the ways of dealing with life's challenges. The go-to part of us is the mind. And so we use our mind to deal with like a host of, oh, call it real-life practicalities, a host of things that is important for us to deal with. And then I started thinking again, well, gee, even beyond that, we use our mind quite creatively. We use our mind to create theories about, well, come to think of it, about everything, or to interpret life's complexities or kind of explain its many mysteries. We develop philosophies and theologies and ideologies and psychologies and we craft scientific explorations and conclusions. In other words, we use this mind to try to understand everything in the world, just everything. And before I get to the question, gee, was it always this way, and did we always use our mind this way, I just want to make a little commentary. It's probably a bit of a value judgment about the mind, and that is, I think there's an amazing upside of the mind and for the mind. I think if for most of us, if we look at modern technology, if we look at all the fascinating ways that we have developed, not just technologies, but mind-bending approaches to life, just pushing the limits of what's possible, using the creative quality of this mind. It's amazing. This mind is not just a tool. It's a gorgeous tool. It's a powerful tool. It's a tool with endless possibilities. And it's so much fun to hang out in it and to use it in all different ways. And there's a potential downside to that, too. And it's not in all these ways we use it necessarily, but I think the potential downside is that we can easily get so caught up in, so focused on, so limitedly or exclusively using this mind of ours that we forget. We don't notice. We tend to bypass other sources of knowledge, of creative solution finding, of exploration, of truth, if you will. So let's go to the question, was it always so? Did this adorable humanness that we are and live in, were we always using the mind this powerfully, this almost exclusively? Or let me ask it this way. In our, what do I want to call it, in our created nature, and just in the pure essence of us, just as that essence becomes human, did we intend to have our mind be used in, to operate in the ways I've just described? Or, let me say it another way, is there another way, another alternative, another option? So I'll just share a thought. The thought is that throughout my life, and this is just looking at me, I've had the opportunity, I call it the blessing, to play with so many people from so many angles of life who think so differently, who use their minds so uniquely. So I've been able to play with people and experience the many, let's call it varied ways that we all use our minds. And I'm going to get oversimplistic and make a distinction here. So just what I'll call one of the things I've discovered, this, again, is pretty simplistic, but I've got three categories of us. That one, some of us live very fully, very strongly in their minds, to the exclusion of other ways of knowing, and we'll come back to that. Second, there are those who use their minds, yes, but they use them in conjunction with, in partnership with, in an alliance with other sources of knowing, like, for example, their souls or their hearts or their bodies, if you will. And then there's a third group of people who don't use their minds much at all. Now, very few of us meet them, but I've met a number of people over the years whose minds are pretty vacant. They're pretty much on the back burner, and they're maybe only used when they're absolutely needed to use them. And maybe they use their minds only as kind of like a translator of some deeper truth, and they're plugged into some deeper truth. Some spiritual people are plugged into the divine or into infinity, if you will. Again, so some people soulfully are plugged into and so one with their soul that they get every bit of truth, every bit of knowing from that all-knowing soul of theirs, and on and on and on. So shall we explore this a little more? Now, granted, note so far, I'm hanging out in the mind, using mind words to describe what's going on about our minds. But trust me, I will shift pretty quickly. But I'm going to stay with mental descriptions here. So some of you who've heard me talk about this have heard me say that if I would try to summarize maybe the last 15 years of some research that has books put out about it, that they tend to define intelligence as having three sources. There's cognitive intelligence, which is what I've been calling the mind, the conscious mind, the left brain, that kind of thing. And I've already described that, so I don't need to go on about it. But they talk about a second kind of intelligence that they have as one label for emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence, which where the cognitive intelligence is centered around the brain area, the emotional intelligence tends to be centered pretty much around the heart. And it tends to take its vibes, its energetic source, very much from the heart, if you will. And that's of course very much about our feelings, very much about our emotions, very much about our energies. And I some years back I came across this quote that I just found fascinating from Carolyn Mice. And it's just one sentence. It says, "We have reached a point in our evolution that requires us to speak energy fluently." And energy is in quotes. So if I may, I'd like to repeat that. We've reached a point in our evolution that requires us to speak energy fluently. And what she was talking about is that so often we use our conscious minds, our cognitive intelligence, our rational intelligence, if you will, in ways that cut us off from the feeling-based intelligence, what they're calling in the literature emotional intelligence. It's a vibrational intelligence. It's a heart-centered, sort of love-centered, but strongly felt intelligence. So people who are intuitive, if you will, they take that deeper knowing that lives in the feeling level of us, and their intuition just translates it into a knowing. They can even, if they want, bypass the whole cognitive intelligence to have that happen. Then there's a third kind of intelligence that the literature talks about, which is primal intelligence, which is sort of what I think we could call gut-level intelligence. So we've got sort of head, heart, and now gut. And primal intelligence to me is, if I oversimplify it, it's the body. And so I'm thinking of a number of people right now, for example. So one person I'm thinking of is somebody, actually I'm thinking of a few people in the same category, but this one person, every time she would talk to me, I would watch when she went into her mind to try to figure things out, to try to get clear about what's going on with her, for example. She got all confused because there's this theory and there's that interpretation and there's this, but then that's countered by that. And she just couldn't do it. So I noticed what I did, pretty much right up front, but over time also, is I would always say, how about if you just go to your body, go to your gut, go to the sort of your primal self, and just kind of feel into your body and see what your body seems to be saying. Without exception, every time she did that, she would say, oh, this is what's going on. This is the truth. So it's like she was born with an innate or a natural inclination to bond with, be one with, be plugged into, be sourced in, be grounded in the intelligence, the truth, the wisdom of that body. And then I'm going to say a very similar kind of a thing about somebody else I'm thinking of. This one happens to be male, who, and I'm back to emotional intelligence here, whose intuition was magnificent, but because of traumas in his life and woundedness, his mind decided to take over and try to use rational thought to keep him safe and all of that, and it never really worked well. And so, again, I started asking him to just get intuitive. Now, some people would call that right brain as opposed to left brain, and we don't want to get, you know, just messed up in technicalities here. But call it emotional intelligence in the heart, call it right brain, it doesn't matter. So I would say, just what's your intuition say here? And with just a little bit of practice, he, 100% of the time, said, oh, this is what the truth is that my intuition is giving me. And so I'm just using those examples as an example of how we can think, not just with our mind, but with our heart, with our gut, with our intuition, with our body, with our soul, with our spirit. And each one of those is a dynamic, rich, amazing source of truth, a remarkable source of truth. So let's investigate, you and I. Let's investigate our heart. Remember, this is about thinking with your heart. Let's jump into our heart. Let's call it our heart as a source of knowing, a source of wisdom. And it's not that we're angry at our mind. It's not that we're abandoning our mind. It's just that we're maybe trying to create a little balance here. We're trying to give our mind a rest. I talked to somebody very, very recently who just said, we were doing something like this, and he said, you know, and I did a little ceremonial experience with him to pull him into his heart, and he said, you know, the first thing that just that I heard from my mind is, oh, thank you, you have no idea how fatigued I am. And this is somebody who has used his mind significantly. And our minds do. They work hard. Sometimes they overwork. And I think especially if we rely on them as our soul or as our primary source of knowing, of clarity, of understanding, of interpretation, of anything, they get tired. They weren't necessarily meant to be a solo act. Or to use a distinction I sometimes make, sometimes we put our mind in the position of CEO of the company of self, the company called you. And our mind is not, I believe, designed for that role. Our mind is a powerful administrative assistant. Our mind is a powerful researcher. Our mind is a powerful processor. But in terms of making decisions based strictly on the logic, reasoning, et cetera, of the mind, that's not a really great CEO. And you just picture any kind of company you've been with. If you've got a CEO who expresses, behaves that way, there are usually some pretty disgruntled employees around because that part of the company is not getting attended to. So here we are in our heart. Just join me there, if you will. And we're just going to let our heart take over. Just going to let our heart be whatever our heart is. And I'm going to do some words in the background here about our heart. And then after a few minutes more, several minutes more, I'm going to work my way to, if I may, leading us in a sort of a guided meditative experience with our heart, where it's just us and our precious, beautiful, sacred heart. So I sat here a little before we started, and I started thinking again, notice the word, what is it about this heart that makes it such a source of knowing? And I just jotted a few little words down, and one of them is our heart is sensitive, just sensitive. And so as you're with your heart now, just kind of let your heart show itself to you as, if in fact this is what your heart wants to show itself to you as sensitive, sensing, feeling, that this heart feels everything. It feels everything, and it knows everything that it's feeling. Again, it doesn't have to process it conceptually. It doesn't have to implement theories about it and around it to grasp what it's about. Just in the feeling, just in the sensing, pulsing, touching of our heart, just in its sensitivity, it feels everything and knows what it feels. Then I thought of another something. This heart of ours, it cares. I mean, it really cares about. It embraces everything. It becomes absolutely one with everything it embraces. So if you just look at your heart, or you may be kind of right there wrapped up in the middle of your heart. You may be living right in the middle of your heart right now. But wherever you are in relation to your heart, notice its deep caring. Notice the way you heartfully, you, if you're in your heart, you just embrace. So you're talking to someone and your heart cares about and embraces this person. And there's all sorts of psychological literature and relationship literature that basically says when we're touching someone, when we're holding someone, when we're deeply engaged with someone, it's really hard to have negative value judgments about that person. So this heart, this caring, embracing heart, automatically just knows how to be one with everyone, every person, every circumstance, every situation. And when we're tuned into our heart, when we're plugged into our heart's embrace of whatever it is, then we notice that that heart knows, because of its embrace of oneness, knows the truth about whatever it's embracing. And then again, just whether instinctively or intuitively or just by knowing itself, the very beingness of knowing, it's like, ooh, we know that about that person, because the truth of it just shows up. Again, it doesn't have to go through the processes or the theories of the mind. So then I've got a third thing here. The first is the sensitivity of the heart. The second is its caring, its embrace, its oneness. The third is that this heart, and how I got to these, by the way, is I just kind of opened up to the heart and let our shared heart show me what it wanted to show me. And the third thing it showed me is that our heart is intimately bonded with our soul. In fact, for some people I know, the term heart and soul are like absolutely interchangeable. They're like, if not twins, they're kissing cousins. The heart, your heart, my heart, our heart, it has this deep bond with our soul. There's no separation. There's no disconnection. And the soul, of course, is that ultimate source of wisdom and truth. It is the divine. It is the pure essence of creation just living in us. The truth of creation lives in here. The truth of human creation, the truth of the creation of you and me, all lives in this soul, and it's totally available to our heart. It's like alive and well and wants to live and dance in the heart and come to us in our knowing through that, what we call vehicle of the heart. And as such, our heart shares our soul's knowing. It sees life through the soul's lens. It loves with the soul's pure love. And so it sees it, our heart, your heart, my heart. It sees everything. It sees you, it sees me, it sees us. It sees this world, despite all that our mind might say about what's wrong with it and what needs changing. Our pure, loving heart sees everything through the eyes of love and embrace and sees the beauty in all that the mind might see as ugly. So the heart, this precious, beautiful heart, gives us a different picture oftentimes, not always, gives us a unique view or vision of what's around us and what's in us. So often we can be really pretty self-hateful and self-judgmental and self-doubting and self-condemning, and we can separate out from ourselves because we feel like, ooh, there's this facet of me that isn't what I want it to be, etc. But the heart doesn't do that. The heart never separates out from anything. So a question that we could ask right about this point, I think, is, wow, where do you live? Where do I live? Where do we live? Do we live in the mind? And, of course, to some degree, we all do. Do we live in the heart? To some degree, we all do. Do we live in the soul? Do we live in the body? Do we live in the energy field of us? Do we live in the spirit and the light of us? Do we live in the higher consciousness of us? Do we live in the divinity of us? Do we live in the quantum source of us? In one sense, we all live everywhere. We walk through all of those dimensions of self all the time. Maybe I should ask the question, where do we live primarily? Where do we live primarily? And many, many people I know, and I would say, especially spiritual people, but I think the only reason I say that is because I hang out with a lot of spiritual people these days, much more than I used to many years back. But there are many of us who live in the mind in a way that's cut off from all these other sources that really sets us up for pain, sets us up for misery, sets us up for judgment, not just judgment of others, but of ourselves, not just judgment of the world, but of creation itself. And in one sense, and now this, there's a judgment in what I'm about to say, mind you, what a shame. Isn't that something that we would cut ourselves off from the truth of the heart, from the pure love of the soul, from the deeper wisdom of the body, from the purest essential version of truth, of divinity? We cut ourselves off from all these other lenses, all these other focuses, all these other spaces within us that specialize in knowing, in thinking, in seeing, in understanding. And so today we come together with, I believe, our heart, having jumped up and down right before we got together and said, what about me? What about me? Look what I have to offer. So I feel like our heart, our beautiful, wondrous heart, is a source of knowing that blends compassion with the mind's facts. That unites love with the mind's theories. That brings sensitivity into the mind's knowledge. These are amazing qualities, and I think you know as well as I do that whenever we think with love and compassion, it instantly changes and transforms the nature of our thoughts from computer-like to feeling like. I know for me, I went through a number of stages where I would, for example, just as an exercise, just because I felt moved to do it, I'm not necessarily suggesting it unless it speaks to you, where I would picture somebody either I didn't like, or I'd picture a politician. Now, this would ring a bell to some of us. Picture a politician that I noticed I had a visceral negative response to, or a mental judgment about. And I would just go to my heart. And I would just sit in my heart and bring that politician or that whoever into my heart with me and just sit there for a few minutes, several minutes. And at least for me, it didn't take long before I started seeing that person not through the lens of my judgmental mind, which was all about how he or she believes and all the rest. But I started seeing a human being who deserves my embrace and my love. And I came out of that with a sense of, gee, wouldn't it be wonderful to just bless this person? Just bless this person so that what this person can get from me is my blessing, so that this person can just be whoever he or she is to the fullest in a way that's just perfect for that person. So, in that sense, excuse me, I'm just going to take a drink. Thank you. And I don't mean to share my drinking problem with all of you here. I'll get over it, I'm sure. So let me say it this way. This is a kind of a new direction. I'd be willing to bet that every one of us here, you, me, all of us, is not just heart-centered, but profoundly heart-centered. My sense is that it's our nature, it's our created nature, it's in the very God-given essence of our humanness. It's our nature. And we brought our heart and soul with us into this human creation so that we could think with our heart, think in our heart, think through our heart, through the inner voice of love, through the inner knowing of love, through compassion, tenderness, feeling, oneness, sensitivity. And because we're heart-centered, because we were created and we created ourselves to be heartful beings, for this heart to be, if not the center point of our being, certainly a strong, strong central facet and aliveness and power and strength and source within us. And so if there's anything in our life that is or would be something that cuts us off from love, something where we're using our mind to take one particular approach without that tenderness, without that feeling, without that oneness, without that compassion or sensitivity, then it could be that maybe one of our purposes in gathering together here is just to hear our hearts' message, our heart's invitation, our heart's input. And our heart may be saying, come back even more. Enter into me more deeply. Become me more fully. Let me take over your life. So when we think with our hearts, back to the theme, thinking with our hearts, when we think with our hearts, we feel what we're thinking about. When we think with our hearts, we're totally one with the person, the situation that maybe we're having opinions about. When we think with our hearts, love is in the air. We love the person that maybe we're judging or wondering about. We care deeply about the person or the situation or the whatever it is that we're thinking about. We're not separate from the world about which we're thinking because our heart is bonded with it. And with our heart's thinking, it's not just a computer-like function. No. That when our heart's involved, that's when our thinking is a bond. Our thinking is a bridge. Our thinking is a way of us being alive in and with those around us so that we are through our heart, through our energy, through our vibration, through our light, through our connectedness, through our oneness, and through our thoughts, we are loving, blessing, empowering, making a winner of whoever we're with, whatever we're with. That's the beauty of the heart, not just its truth, its vision, its knowing, its clarity, and yes, that, but that when we think with the heart, we are transformational, not just informational. We are inspirational, not just centered in facts. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So let's look at our hearts anew. Let's be in our hearts right now. And as we're entering our hearts way down into their core and discovering there everything that our heart wants to show us about how it knows, how it thinks, how it operates, how it opens itself, how it unifies, what its unique heart-mind is, if you will. As we do that, let's open ourselves to our heart's magic, to our heart's love, to our heart's power, to our heart's wisdom and flexibility, and let's just say our heart's infinite intelligence. And so for the next few to several minutes, these words from me are just going to be a journey, a guiding of us into the various compartments of our heart, into like the different rooms of a house. A living room feels a certain way, a bedroom feels another way, a kitchen feels another way. Our heart is its own precious, precious home. It's the home of truth. It's the home of love. And, among other things, it's the home of an enormous, enormous, often untapped power. Let's just journey into these rooms. Let's just go and thank our heart for inviting us in as we walk through the door if we're not already in our heart's home. And let's go to the living room of love. Let's even watch our heart escort us in there and put us in the softest, most comfortable chair in the living room, perhaps in front of the fireplace, with that fire just kind of radiating out these vibrations of love, these energies of deep sensitivity and caring, these vibrations of compassion and feeling. And as we're there, let's just let those vibrations, that love in all of its compassion and feeling and sensitivity and its wondrous embrace of us, let's let that love just embrace us and embrace us more and embrace us more and speak to us internally in that embrace. Speak to us in a way that my words won't express, but maybe your own intuitive sense picks up. Speak to you, perhaps, about how beautiful and gorgeous and precious and lovable you are. Speak to you, perhaps, about the life that you have and the circumstances of that life, and shows you how your heart, despite what your mind might be saying about it, how your heart loves this life and sees it through the eyes of oneness and embrace, and shows you how just because your heart is embracing it as is, in as-is condition, that your heart is at peace, and that whatever needs to happen for the change or changes that might be ideal in your life, your heart shows you how those changes can best happen when you're deeply, deeply at peace. What a beautiful living room. What a sacred chair. What a wondrous, magical fireplace and fire. What a beautiful love is here in this, your sacred heart, your divine heart, your heart that has no place for conditional love, no place for hostile judgments, but has all the place in the world for the power of love and the truth that love uncovers. Stay in this living room as long as you like. As long as you like. And let's go to another room. And if you want to stay there and skip the rest of this, that's fine. Let's go to the room of truth, if you will. Let's call it the library, the study, if you will. And we are ushered into this really quite elaborate space with kind of gilded books. But as we look at them, we notice they're not books based on mental theory. Every one of them is a book about the heart. It's a book about love, but it's a book about the truth as seen through the eyes of the heart. It's the heart's vision. It's the heart's clarity. It's what the heart sees and knows. And it's how the heart constructs its very own philosophy of life. It's a very warm, endearing study. The energy coming out from all these gilded books is an energy of pure love. So that whatever might be written that really is about truth and knowing and awareness and interpretation and understanding, that it all just feels so user-friendly because through the eyes of love, through the vision and view of love, only the real truth, not just the storied truth, can be found. And so you settle back, you pick up a book or two, maybe one that grabs your attention, and you just page through it and you wait for something to jump out at you, and maybe your heart stops you at one page and says, here's something to look at, and it may come to you as a thought, may come to you as an insight, may come to you as a truth that maybe you kind of knew, but didn't know, like maybe right now you might know it. And feel free to stay in this nice, warm, cozy, user-friendly library filled with love and love books as long as you would like. And in just a few seconds, for those who feel like joining me for the next step, we'll move into the third room. And we're ushered in, again, our heart being this beautiful host or hostess, ushered in to this third room. It's a room of power. We walk in and we get a feel of this room, and my goodness, it doesn't feel like, you know, the usual earth-moving equipment kind of power. It doesn't feel like the podium-pounding, yelling, screaming kind of power. It feels remarkably peaceful in here, and yet there's a kind of an energy that even defies labeling, an energy that says there's a pulsing of power here. And then the thought comes to you, ooh, this is, come to think of it, this is my power. This is, since I am this heart, this is not just the heart's power, this is my power. For you see, the heart is its own unique form of power. Yes, it is love. Yes, it is truth. And yes, it's a kind of power that knows how, in conjunction with love and truth, how to get things done. It's a transforming kind of power, but it's so, well, sweet. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. This is a remarkable room, this room of power in your heart. It's one that gets visited probably a little less than the other two by most of us. But I can tell just in the way I'm with this power, this energy in this room, that this room is delighted to have us visit. And this room, like all the others, has a gift for us. And it's the gift of power. whatever way you have needed power, your heart gives it to you. Now, sweetly, without your mind having to work through anything, without your mind having to process anything or figure anything out, it's just your heart says, I hold your love, I hold your truth, and I hold your power, and here, this is yours. I've simply been waiting for you to come. Welcome, and thank you. And so in a minute, we're going to shift back, and of course, any of you who feel like just staying right in that space that you're in, feel free. But over the next few seconds, several seconds, I'm just going to invite us, any of us who feel like it, just to come back to us, come back to this sacred gathering, to this sacred site. And as we come back, maybe bring our heart with us. Maybe bilocate, be here and be in your heart at this very same time, which is actually, with a little practice, easy to do. So, in a minute, I'm going to invite anybody who would like to share anything to feel free to share, whether on the phone or on the web. But for right now, if I go back to the luscious title of our time together, Thinking with Your Heart, I feel like that's what we're doing right now, thinking with our heart. And I can feel my mind saying, I don't know about yours, oh, this is so wonderful, I'm not tired. This is so wonderful because it's not just that you need to be plugged into your heart. Our mind is saying, I need to be plugged into this heart as well. And so I thank you for such a beautiful, beautiful journey. And at this point, I'd like to just ask if there's anybody who would like to share anything. Again, whether on the web, and if you are on the web, all you need to do is type in whatever it is in that adorable little box that you've got there, and then push whatever it is. What is that? It's a little send button or something like that. And that'll show up on my little screen, and somebody, adorable somebody, has a very long thing that says, hi. I think that's beautiful. Thank you. So, and if you're on the phone and you would like to share anything, I want to ask us again not to ask any questions because we don't want to make it an intellectual exercise. But if you'd like to share anything, whatever your trusty heart feels like sharing, then just press *2 on your phone, and that will show me the cute little symbol of your hand being raised, and I'll call on you. So at this point, there's nobody on the phone, nobody new on the webcast, and we'll just give that another minute or so with the total understanding and, as always, with my apologies for inviting us into a space that allows us to be so out of our mind that we don't know. We happen to have a hand up from somebody from area code 808, which I believe is Hawaii. Hi.
Hi.
Is this Adrian?
It is Adrian. Elizabeth, Makalapalook, Hanani Maitai, Aloha, Squeaker, Karate Chucks, Elizabeth Simpson.
Yes.
And I wanted to say that I don't need to say this. Everybody there knows it, especially you. I just feel like saying it. Only love exists. Only love exists. That doesn't mean power doesn't exist. I don't even get all intellectual about this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Only love. It's just one of my favorite things for me, anyway.
Wow.
idea that only love exists.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes in some situations, like I'm looking out at a rusty chair right now, you have to look a little deep into the rusty chair to see the love in there. But everything is only love. And every leaf on every tree out in my backyard, and there's millions of them, is just saying how wonderful everyone is on this telephone conference. You, Bill, and everybody listening is just filled with aloha and love and sweetness, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Wow.
And
Adrian,
I guess that's probably what I wanted to say.
That is a perfect and wonderful and truly love-filled thing to say. Thank you so much.
Only love exists, buried in the land and in the cellular structure, and in every crazy thing anybody says is all based in it.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you, Adrian, so
much. Thank you, Bill, your wonderfulness.
Okay, bye-bye.
Express. Okay, aloha.
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 And we have somebody from area code 914, and I'm just unmuting you. Hello.
Thank you. This is Bob, and I just have to tell you the journey tonight, the whole message is so amazing, and especially for businessmen who tend to not be in their heart. And this is exactly the kind of message and program that another business friend of mine who's very successful is promoting now with his wife, going into the heart with the mind to figure out what the next business steps are. He doesn't go – well, he does meditate, but then he gets out of the meditation room and he gets into action. But I just thank you so much for all these wonderful thoughts. It just is so profound and so refreshing.
Oh, Bob, how delightful. And I love all the ways you expressed that. Thank you. Huge wisdom in what you said. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And I think we have Carol. Hold on a second. All I have to do is figure out how to unmute you. There you are. Is that you, Carol?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Yes. Hi. I just really like this practice tonight. My poor mind gets so overwrought. I just love the thing of just bringing it right into the heart. And even when you were, and also what you said about bringing people into our hearts. And I had someone express recently when we were having trouble with ourselves, bring ourselves into our hearts.
Yes.
I'm really grateful for the exercise tonight, and I had a little difficulty going into my heart, at which point I should have brought myself into my heart with the difficulty I was having going into my heart.
Yeah.
But it's thank you, Bill, because I love that we did this and that it's sort of etched in my consciousness a bit more, so that perhaps as I go about my days and if I find myself not where I wish to be within myself to do this practice.
Mm-hmm.
And what you and the gentleman, and the business model too. How gorgeous is that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
thank you.
And what a great suggestion to yourself and maybe to us too to just do this as an exercise, a simple exercise that just kind of brings us home. So beautiful. Thank you, Carol, so much.
Thank you.
Before we stop, we have a couple of things on the webcast. One is from Maria, who says, I love the image of bilocation with my heart. And then Sue says, and this is for you, Donna, especially, the drawings are so lovely. Thank you. I loved being drawn into the feminine side of divinity. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sue, for that. And wow, thank all of you for those beautiful, beautiful comments. Oh, my goodness, I see that our hour has come to its close. I want to thank you. This is just a final little conclusion thing. In the United States, and I know there are a number of us from outside of the United States, it will be Thanksgiving in a couple of weeks, a special day set aside for Thanksgiving, and I know most countries have their version of that. But I want to just take this opportunity of Thanksgiving to say thank you. And I really mean thank you to each one of you. You are so special and beautiful, and just the world. I feel, in my heart, I feel the world so grateful that you are here and that you are part of us and that you love and bless us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm grateful for you. And again, my little final announcement that we will not have a teleconference in December. The next one will be 2 months from now, the second Thursday of January, which is January 14th. And so I will miss you. Actually, I'll sit on the second Thursday of December and just cry the whole time because you're not there. No, maybe I won't. Anyway, here's the final thing I would love to do. I would love to invite all of us again to embrace each other with a final goodbye. I'm going to unmute us in just a second. And whether that's a goodbye, whether that's an I love you, whether that's a have a wonderful 2 months or whatever that may be, whatever you want it to be, right now is the moment. There we go.
Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you.
Thank
you
so much.
Thank you.
Love you,
Dylan.
Community.
Namaste.
Heart is open.